and greatly to be praised. I feel him in this house tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Turn around that person next to you and say, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Amen. Appreciate everybody here. And I believe that's Salisha over there. Hallelujah. Good to have Salisha home. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I went over to Brother Ray. I said, is that your sister there? Hallelujah. He said, sure enough. Good to have you home. Amen. We love you dearly. We go way back. Way back. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1 through 4. Actually, before we read this, I'd like to do something a little strange. I'd like you to get your phone out, and I know you don't hear pastors say that very often, but I want you to text at least one person that's not here tonight. And if you do, don't lie, but I'd like you to text at least one person. I just text five and just say, been missing you at church, thinking about you. If you could think of one person at least in your phone book, just kind of take just a few seconds. And if you really aren't missing them and you really aren't thinking about, don't send the text, all right? Won't you lying in church? I love you, I miss you, and you don't really love them. Well, you gotta love everybody. The Bible says love your enemies. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And if you feel led of the Lord this week or whatever, call somebody. Invite them to lunch. Invite them over. Say a kind word. Everybody likes a kind word, right? I'd like a kind word. Amen. I'm glad that you made it to church tonight. Give yourselves a hand. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, I'm texting. I can't multitask. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I'll do this as you multitask. And thank God for men and women that still bring their Bibles to church. Wow, I didn't give a big clap there. Somebody asked this question. If you don't bring your Bible to church, where do you bring it? Ooh, I'm meddling right. The phone, yeah. ET phone home. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. Let me just stop right there. When people ask you, what are you? You say, I'm Pentecostal. And many times people ask, well, is that a denomination? You say, no. Being a Pentecostal is an experience. And we get to experience what they did on the day of Pentecost. That's why they call us Pentecostal. It's an experience. And that's why David said, oh, taste and see the Lord God is good. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with what? Other tongues as man gave the utterance. Ooh, you're listening. Hallelujah. As spirit gave the utterance. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak in other tongues. Not as man does, but as God does. Do you realize God takes the most unruly member of your body? That is the tongue. Because out of the tongue proceeds life and proceeds death. Whatever you speak. And God says, I'm going to control that tongue. And I'm going to feel the glorious gift. I'm going to give that to you. And you're going to speak in an unknown tongue as the Spirit gives the utterance. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? When you speak in tongues, God actually is speaking through you. And you're always praying, God, would you please speak to me? Well, when you start speaking in tongues, God is speaking to you. Anybody glad to be apostolic tonight? Amen. Luke chapter 3:16, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchets of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I want to talk to you tonight on this thought. We need a fresh baptism of fire. We need a fresh baptism of fire. Would you turn to that person next to you and in your preacher voice, would you just say, you need a fresh baptism of fire. Hallelujah. If you believe that, clap your hands unto the Lord. God bless you. May be seated. David Duplessis told of a visiting friend who was an Episcopalian pastor and whose congregation had just erected a new building, a cathedral. And as the pastor showed David around the building, he began to point out the elaborate fittings, the raised altar, and the imported stained glass windows. And on he went on the beauty of this cathedral. And then the pastor turned around and said, now you Pentecostals don't have anything like this, do you? No, we don't. You've got it all. We Pentecostals don't possess many of the elaborate fittings that you all possess. You don't see many stained glass windows in our churches. You don't see raised altars or statues in the building. But there's one thing, sir, that you all don't possess. David said, you might have the raised altars. You might have stained glass windows. You might have raised altars. But pastor, we Pentecostals may not have much, but we Pentecostals have the fire. We may not have all the money like you do. We may not have all the statues and the prestige of life. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give unto thee. And that is the fire of the Holy Ghost. He said, keep your windows and keep your raised altars. Just give me fire. Just give me Jesus. Just give me a good old dose of the Holy Ghost. Anybody like to have a good dose of the Holy Ghost? I'm going to tell you, this world in which we are part of seeks after things, seeks after talents, and seeks after abilities. They may possess money and all the material things that it comes with it. But just as this preacher, I want you to know, I don't want the money or the prestige. I just want the fire. And can I tell you, what you need is the fire. What your family needs is the fire. What your friends need is the fire. What our world needs is the fire of the Holy Ghost. Because if you get this fire burning in you, it will change you. And you get this fire burning on the inside of your soul, it will help you. It will give you the strength you need to fight another day. It'll save your family. It'll save your marriage. It'll save your children. All you need is a good old dose of the Holy Ghost. Anybody believe that tonight? I'm going to tell you what this fire will do. This fire will take the bottle away from an alcoholic. This fire will take a drug away from the drug addict. It'll take the perversions of the world away from your body. That's what this fire will do. You don't need money. You don't need a 12-step program. You don't need a self-help book. All you need is the fire. That's what Jeremiah said. He said, I tried to contain it. I tried to be cool. I tried to look the part and go to church and just patty cake for Jesus. He said, everybody else was doing that. He said, but when I got there, I couldn't just sit there like everybody else did. I couldn't just sit there with a nice tie put on right and my hairdo on right. He said, because I had something burning on the inside of my soul. He said, it was like fire shut up in my bones. I'm telling you, what you need is a good old dose, a good old baptism of the fire. That's what you need. Somebody ought to clap your hands. Somebody ought to raise your voice and say, God, I'm hungry for the fire. I desire the fire. You need the fire. Turn that person next to you and say, you need the fire. Get your pointer out and point to yourself and say, self, I'm talking to you. You need a fresh baptism of fire. Anybody believe that today? You just started preaching good when you started preaching to yourself. Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. If you ever get discouraged, and I know nobody ever gets discouraged, if you ever get worried, if fear ever tries to come against you, and anxiety and stress and confusion and doubt, you need to turn that around and get your preacher voice and say, self, I'm preaching to you. Fear has got to go, and worry has got to go, and anxiety and stress has got to go, because flesh, you need a new baptism of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Clap your hands unto the Lord if you believe that. If you'll search the scriptures, you will find that often fire appears as a symbol of God's presence or God's power. Exodus chapter 3 verse 2, we find God represented himself as a bush that burned with fire. Exodus chapter 13, 21, we find God represented himself in a pillar of fire that guided and gave light to the children of Israel. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 16, we find God bringing down a chariot of fire to carry Elijah away. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, 38, we find the fire of God falling and consuming the sacrifice on Mount Carmel. You know the story. We all know the story. It was the showdown at Mount Carmel. Ahab had 450 prophets of Baal. And Ahab looks at Elijah and says, you're the one that's been troubling Israel. And Elijah looked at him and says, you got it wrong. In verse 18, he said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou hast, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And so Ahab sent unto the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah made this statement. He came unto all the people and said this, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then what? Follow him. But if be Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I even only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Elijah looks at them and says, you have over 450 men that they call prophets. He said, so I just want to find out what kind of prophets that they really are. Can I tell you, the Bible talks about a lot. We live in a world where everybody, even on Facebook, they say, you know, Christians are always judging people. You post something and someone posted this really nice thing and it was really nice. And then someone says, yeah, but Christians judge people. And we know our word says, judge not lest ye be judged. Right? Anybody heard that before? But if you look down about three or four verses after, judge not lest be judged, it also says you shall know them by the fruits they bear. And so Elijah said, you know, I ain't going to judge these men, but I'm going to let their fruits speak for themselves. Because they profess that they know the scriptures. They profess they're a prophet. They profess they're on the Lord's side. He said, let's just see what happens. 450 prophets. I'm the only prophet right now standing up for what's right. Reminds me of years ago, and I think I've told the story before. I was at Red Lobster and we were in our break room. It was behind all the tables, and it was actually in a little kind of banquet room, and all the waiters and waitresses were kicking back there, and this one guy, his name was Alfredo. And he was a professed drag queen. Oh, Lord. And everybody was talking. Everybody's laughing and all of that. And somehow, Alfredo sat at the table I was sitting at. I just trying to have my lunch, mind my own business, take my break, and go back to work. But Alfredo sat at my table. Everybody else around us, there's probably 20 people in the room. And Alfredo, big and loud, said, "Preacher, I want to know, is it right to live the way I'm living?" And that's exactly what happened. It got quiet. Everybody was talking. And then when he said, "Preacher, tell me, is it right the way I'm living?" And I was like, "Oh, buddy." I said, "First of all, Alfredo, you're asking me. I'm not jumping on the table and just saying if you don't turn, you're going to burn. But you're asking me a question. I'm going to tell you, there are times in my family's life, there's some of my family members don't live for God. And I don't, every Christmas or every Easter, I don't just jump on the table and say, you got to live for God or you're going to hell. I don't do that. Okay? I try to wait for the right moment. The right word at the right time equals great results. The right word at the wrong time never goes well. So there are many times and I wait for my family to open up that door and talk about Jesus. When they do, man, I'm there and we start talking about it because it's right ground. And so this guy says, "Is it right to live this life?" And I was like, "Okay." I said, "You're asking me, you're asking me. So I got to tell you, the Bible says in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve. God did not design a woman with a woman and a man with a man. God did not design a woman to wear man's apparel or a man to wear women's apparel. So if you're asking me what's right and what's wrong, I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to give you what thus saith the word of the Lord." And guess what happened? It got quiet. Again, and everybody left. Nobody else even said anything. And Alfredo was like, "I don't need that." And he just starts walking off. And two guys came up behind me and said, "Preacher, I believe just the way you did." I said, "Why did you say anything?" You know what I'm saying? So that's what Elijah's up against. He's all by himself. Against 450 self-promoted prophets of God. And in verse 24, he says, "And call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." He said, "You call on your God, and I'll call on my God, the God, the one and the only." And we know the story. Those prophets of Baal tried everything you read it. They tried everything they could. They screamed, they jumped, they rolled, they cut themselves with knives until their blood gushed out. They prophesied from noon until evening, and nothing happened. And guess what Elijah did? Elijah started to heckle them. It's a pretty great read. You don't have to read any of these other, you just read the word of God. There's so much good stuff in them. As they rode and screamed and cut themselves and did all they could, Elijah was like, "Is your God on vacation? Is your God asleep? Does he not hear good? Is his hearing aid not on?" And they did it from noon till evening and nothing happened. Because, Brother McIntosh, it was just stained windows and raised altars. It was all for show. They were like a chihuahua, all bark and no bite. And so Elijah knows nothing is happening.
And so he steps up and he says this, bring me water. Bring me 4 barrels of water. And he commanded them to do it again. And he commanded them the third time, 12 barrels of water. The people said, you're crazy. Because water is not used to start a fire. Water is used to put out a fire. Bible says in verse 35 of the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, and the water ran about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and thou hast turned their hearts back again. And the Bible says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. I submit to you tonight that if you want the fire of God to fall, you've got to be covered by the water. If you want the fire to fall in your life, you've got to be buried with him in baptism. There's something powerful that begins to happen when you go down to a watery grave. Bishop talked about it already. There's something significant about that baptismal tank. It's not the water. That water doesn't have the power. That tank doesn't have the power. But when we identify and we obey the word of God by faith and we're buried with him in baptism, the Bible said, behold, old things are passed away and behold, all things become new. When we get buried with him in baptism, we take on that name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when that name has been spoken of, when you go down in that grave by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus, guess what happens? The fire begins to fall. The fire of the Holy Ghost. It's a new life. It's a do-over. It's not my words. It's what thus saith the Lord. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, can a man be born again in his mother's womb? And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and born of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, what we need is a new fresh baptism of fire by the Holy Ghost. When you activate faith and you put God to the test and you say, God, I'm not trusting in man. I'm not trusting their formulas, but I'm going to trust in the word of God and I'm going to activate faith. I told you that when I got baptized, it was in December and it was cold. We didn't have that heater. Everybody knows that story, but I'm going to say it again. When I went down, it was so cold. It was so cold. I was 15 years old. I am 47, almost 48 years old. That was a few years ago. But I still remember, Brother McIntosh, how cold it was. I still remember my knees were quaking and my teeth were chattering. And my dad said, that's the Holy Ghost. I said, baby, it's cold. I know when we're in church, we're supposed to be, you know, always spirit, but I'm telling you, it was so cold. It took the shad out of me. I took the first step and I was like, ooh, I could walk on water. But I got in. I watched Brother Rincon baptize somebody earlier today. And the same thing, their water was cold. And I began to say, I remember the feeling, but I remember that day so vividly when my dad put me down and he put that name, he spoke that name on me. I remember, Brother Garcia, that when I came up, I didn't feel the chilling waters of that baptismal tank, but I began to feel that fire burning on the inside of a 15-year-old boy that was a knucklehead, that God said, I'm going to wash away your past. I'm going to wash away your sin. Although those waters may be chilly, I'm going to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it was fire shut up in me. Somebody ought to clap your hands unto the Lord. Somebody ought to shout his name. There is no greater name than the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you what happens when fire gets a hold of you. It begins to inflame something in you. It begins to detonate something in you. It begins to give you life, give you spiritual burning passion. I'm telling you what, when God begins to move into your life, you begin to understand that, you know what, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. When you get that fire shut up on the inside of you, Brother Roy, you realize I can go another day. I can fight another ram. I can pick up my cross. I can begin to go another mile. Why? Because there's something about the help and the power of the Holy Ghost. What this world needs, what this church needs, what our family needs is not more money, is not more technology, but what we need is the fire of the Holy Ghost, a fresh baptism of fire. Somebody ought to clap your hands unto the Lord. You want to know what turned their worlds, the apostles' worlds, upside down? You want to know why they impacted their generations and their cities? It was because they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. You want to know why the lame walked? You want to know why the blind received their sight and deaf ears were unstopped? It was because they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You want to know why they went up to the gate beautiful to pray and they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, rise up and walk. What did they possess? What did they have? They had the fire. It wasn't talent. It wasn't ability. It was because they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And what this pastor is praying, God, set us on fire. God, set this church on fire. God, set our homes on fire. God, set our kids on fire. Give us a fresh baptism of fire from you. What your marriage needs is a fresh baptism of fire. We really need this. We can't just come and patty cake for Jesus and sing our songs and go through the motions, but we need divine intervention like we had last Sunday night when the power of God began to sweep into this place. I'm telling you, we've got to be led by the Spirit of God. The world doesn't have your answer. The bottle doesn't have your remedy. The drugs doesn't have your solution. The only solution is in Jesus Christ. It's the fire from the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist understood that when John said, I indeed baptize you under repentance, but there comes one mightier than I, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We need the fire. And can I tell you, the world knows when you have the fire, and the world knows when you don't have the fire. The world knows when you really are genuine and when you don't know what you're talking about. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I go to church. I go to Abundant Life Center. I sing in the choir. I lead worship. I preach. I do all, oh, really? I can't tell it. I'm not judging you, but your fruits are speaking something differently. Your post on social media is speaking a different language than the language you're trying to sell me. This world knows who you've been encountered with and who you've not been encountered with. Acts chapter 4:13 said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were what? Unlearned and ignorant. Not ignorant, ignorant. They learned, unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The world knows, Brother Martin, when we've been with him and when we haven't been with him. And I don't know about you, but I've got friends that need this. I've got coworkers that need this. I've got family that need this. I need the Holy Ghost in my life. I don't just need it on Sunday, and I don't just need it on Wednesday, Brother Landry. I need God to give me every day a fresh baptism of fire. When I wake up in the morning, my mind's on him. When I lay my head down at night, Brother Viscara, my mind is on him. You go sing your songs, you go do what you do, but I just want the fire of the Holy Ghost. You say what you want, you do what you like, but as for this preacher, as for this man, I just want the fire from God. We need a present day fire that will transform us. If we're going to win our friends, we've got to have the fire. If we're going to turn our families upside down, we've got to have the fire. We need an overwhelming passion that'll ignite us to reach this world with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're ever going to love people and serve our world, we've got to be given to this. Brother Ray, we talked about this in my office this morning. And I said, you know what? If we were to turn our lights off and lock up the doors of Abundant Life Center, would our community know that we're gone? I sure hope they would. And if they wouldn't even know we're gone, then I need to change some things. And I need to give myself to this. Thank God you come. Thank God, you know, you're faithful in your attendance and you bring your tithe to the Lord and you do all that. But I'm telling you, if all you're doing is for show and for motions, you've missed it all. Pastor talked about it today when the rich old guy came and he threw all that he had to the Lord and he paid all his tithe and all that, but the publican came with his head down, knowing that he didn't do good, knowing he made mistakes, and he was saying, God, I'm just a publican, I'm just a sinner, and I need you to forgive me. What was he looking for? He wasn't looking for a pat on the back, but he was looking for Jesus to come into his life. He was looking for that fire that the apostles had. I'm telling you, what I hunger for is what they did in the book of Acts. I want the fire of the Holy Ghost. I want them to take notice that I've been with him. I remember we went to the Bahamas. My kids always want to go back to the Bahamas. And I'm about done, Brother Alex. I've screamed way too loud. But I remember I went to the Bahamas and a bishop took us all. I'm telling you, it probably cost a lot of money. As he took the Grogans, he took the Parkies, he took the Rippertellas, and he paid all food. You know, we got lunch and dinner. And we didn't just go to Taco Bell. We were on the dollar menu. But we did everything. But I remember I was getting ready to go golfing. And I had a polo shirt on, and I had my golf clubs, and I come trudging in to the buffet because I love breakfast. If you want to make Pastor happy, just give me biscuits and gravy and eggs and bacon and sausage and all of that. I love the farm show because I get to eat some of the breakfast there. But I remember, Brother Reuben, I come in with my golf clubs, and forgive me, I know I'm almost 48 years old, and I tell the same stories over and over. But this one does fit in this message, and it just seems like sometimes they just overlap. But I walked in there, and Sister Del Toro, I don't know what she is, a hostess. And the hostess looked at me and said, not can I find you a seat? What, you know, where? She said, are you pasta? And I knew I put on some pounds, and I was like, I don't think I'm spaghetti or rigatoni.
I don't think I'm pasta. She goes, do you love Jesus? I said, oh, pastor, yeah. And she says, I can tell. I can feel him. I can feel him all over you. I didn't come in there with my Bible, my notes, jumping on the tables, preaching. But I came there just being me. And I don't say this for a pat on my back. But if God could let that happen for this knucklehead, what could happen in your life? That when you walk in, they go, something different about you. You're not the same cat that came in contact with a couple years ago. What's going on with you? There's something I just can't put my hand to. Something different about you. You're like, oh, I took a bath. I don't know. Thank God you take baths. But Brother Reuben, there is a presence that overshadows you. David said it like this. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. When you get in covenant with God and you follow after his plan, what is his plan? Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. We're Pentecostals, right? He preached a message and they said, what must we do to be saved? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name, not names, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You could turn your world. You could turn your city. You could turn your generations around by making up your mind. As for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. And we're not just gonna patty cake for Jesus. We're not just gonna go through the motions, but we're gonna get baptized with the fresh fire of the Holy Ghost. We're not just gonna sing songs, but we're gonna connect with God. Come on, is there anybody in this house that'll make up their mind? Pastor, I want to be baptized afresh. I want a fresh baptism of fire. Is there any moms? Is there any dads that'll stand up in this untoward generation and say, do it, God? Oh, somebody ought to lift your voice. Somebody ought to lift your voice. Somebody ought to raise your voice. Come on. That same power that the disciples had, that the apostles have, can be the same power that's residing in you. Come on. This really does work. It could save your family. It could save your marriage. It could change your life. I want the fire. I want the fire. Come on. Anybody hungry for this? Anybody thirsty for this? He's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter how old or how young, how rich or poor. This promise, this gift of the Holy Ghost is for you and for you and for you. I wouldn't leave this place until that fresh fire begin to fall on you again. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. I want it. I want it. I want it, God. I want that fire. Hallelujah. Shataya koraya tayas. Sharakaya raso. Help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, God. Oh. Come on. This kind of fire is contagious. It'll spread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall.
Come like a flood. Shataya korasi.
Hiyaraya raso. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fire, fire, fire. Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. For this, anybody thirsty for this? Hallelujah! I give it to you, God. I give it to you, God. Turn things around. Turn things around, God. Hallelujah. I want it, God. I want it, God. I want it, God. This works. Come on, this works. Let the fire fall. Hungry. Hungry for you. Hungry for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
once again, God.
Fill me once again. Jesus, I'm desperate,
God.
I'm hungry, God.
Hallelujah.
For you.
Oh, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Lord, you are
all
I want.
Hallelujah.
Break
me now.
All I want.
Hallelujah.
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 I'm desperate for you.
Jesus, I'm hungry.
Hallelujah.
For you.
Jesus,
I'm longing.
I'm longing.
For you.
For you.
Because Lord, you are.
You are. All I want.
Jesus, I'm desperate.
For you. Jesus, I'm home.